going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go. Gotta be careful with that hot mic. We're halfway home on a payday Friday. I'm feeling great. I do have some money in the bank account. That helps, although it'll probably be gone by this time next week. Because as you heard from the intro, wake up, first of the month is going to be this time next week. Shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto line, apply online.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. In about an hour, we'll have Bonta Hill joining us in studio. Talk some Warriors. Talk some Jimmy Butler. Deep glute contusion. His status is up in the air for tomorrow. I know you got to laugh. He's got a butt bruise. That's basically what it comes down to. Hopefully, he'll be able to play. And obviously, the big talk of this morning and of yesterday was the NFL draft, first round coverage. Shout out to Evan, Grandy, and Sterling doing a hell of a job last night from 6 to 10. We got Grandy and Sterling doing it again for rounds 2 and 3 tonight from 6 to 10. So they'll be taking all of those picks and discussing them, breaking them all down. Picks 43 and 75 for the Niners tonight. But pick 11 was yesterday, Joe, and they selected one, Mykael Williams, out of Georgia.
So, do you like the pick for the Niners?
We'll see. I like the position.
You're pulling a Steiny on me now.
Well, I like the position they took. Like, I don't want to sound like it's like it doesn't. It's like a nothing burger for me. But I'm gonna like.
Yay!
Was I going into this thing like, wow, Mykael Williams? That's the guy they need. Like, did you really know who Mykael Williams? If I ask you who Mykael Williams was a month ago, would you have known who he was?
I would have only because I've done some homework on it, and I also watched a lot of SEC.
There you go. So.
There's about 8 teams that I know some of the guys on them. Okay. And when you're studying Walker, the linebacker for Georgia, you naturally see number 13, Williams,
sure,
on a lot of plays.
So I did a deep dive on him too, obviously, as everyone does. And the consensus from most people that do all the film, that watch it, that grind it, you heard it from Baldy. Brian Baldinger joined us last segment. If you missed any of that interview, find it on the Odyssey app, which is free, or on YouTube. But he dominates against the run. And he has room for improvement as a pass rusher, which that's fine. And is like, I don't expect in your first season, Baldy alluded to this, I don't expect you to be, you know, Lawrence Taylor out of the gate. I don't expect you to be J.J. Watt from day one. I'm not expecting that from Mykael Williams. Some of the things I do love is the size. He's not undersized. He's big. He's long. He's athletic. Baldy felt he should have gone in the top 10. That being said, it's
He thought he was better than the 8, 9, and 10 picks.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He thought he should have been in the top 10, yes. Basically, because that's what he's basically saying without saying it. That being said, it's great. You can have all the measurables in the world. How do you produce on it? Because all I know is there's going to be a lot of pressure on this kid from day one, because I know Bosa's going to get the benefit of the doubt. The guy's a DPOY. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer if he keeps this up. He's incredible. It's about the next guy, next to Nick Bosa, and Mykael Williams is that guy, and it starts now. So it's getting in that building and starting to improve that pass rush. And that's going to be on Chris Kocurek, that's going to be on Robert Saleh, who's now back as defensive coordinator, and that's going to be on Nick Bosa, too, to show the rookie the ropes.
So, like, I have certain draft principles, and they've evolved over time, but I view the first round, and especially early in the first round, I view it different than other rounds, right? So, for example, is it good value when you get the 4 years plus the fifth year option to take a D tackle who might be the second, third, or fourth best guy on the board, and you're not sure if he's a three down player?
Yeah, it's tough.
That's not great value to me. Now, offensive line can always be a good bailout, because even if a guy is, like, let's say mid, which I would put Mike McGlinchey, he was like a mid type of a first round pick in the sense that, like, he started for you, played a lot of games, but you loved him so little, you didn't give him that big second contract,
correct,
right? You let him walk in free agency. But it was good value in the sense that he did play a lot for you, and he played a lot of snaps, right? And you ended up going to the playoffs multiple times with him. So you could kind of talk yourself into it as good value. I hear a lot of people talking about running back right now. You can't take a running back in this spot. Well, I mean, if I took Christian McCaffrey in the top 10, you know, and I'm Carolina and I squeezed two unreal years out of him, it's better than taking John Ross at wide receiver.
Well, I'll say this. Like, Bijan Robinson showed last year why he was drafted in the top 10. Guy was incredible last year. Obviously, for a losing team, though, so people will go back to that positional value. But Saquon Barkley, drafted in the top 10, drafted in the top 5. looked pretty damn good last year for the Philadelphia Eagles, did he not?
Exactly.
Looked worth it. And I think that was what probably Pete Carroll and John Spytek and the new regime over with the Raiders, Tom Brady being involved, obviously, they're probably looking at that and saying, yeah, Geno Smith's a good, it's a good solid quarterback for us. We got Brock Bowers, and now we got Ashton Jeanty. Okay, we could do something here.
But I think also, like, what situation do you go to?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a top 10 team that throws the ball all day and doesn't want to run it, I don't like you taking a running back. But if you're, hypothetically, Kyle Shanahan and or McVay when he had Todd Gurley, like, if you like a running back and you're going to use him and you're going to give him 400 carries, like, I get it. Like, Mike Vrabel's a great example. Yeah. I know that when he's paired with a great running back, he's going to run the ball down team's throats.
Yeah.
I don't hate that pick. Here's a good example of a guy like Jim Harbaugh. I know Jim Harbaugh. Everyone wants him to take wide receiver, take a wide receiver. This was last year. It's like, do you not watch what Harbaugh does? He's taking a tackle. He took Joe Alt and they went to the playoffs.
And then now he took a running back, Omarion Hampton, out of North Carolina to pair him with Najee Harris, a bruising back.
Exactly.
So now what are they going to do next year? Don't draft Justin Herbert for fantasy. I'm just telling you right now. Don't do that because they're going to be running the ball, and they showed you that last year.
So if you wanted to look at the 49ers and you're trying to like right now, okay, they need anyone on the D-line. Well, personally, I would much rather take the guy that you think can stop the run right now from the edge, and we can work on him on the pass rushing things from a great program, high character leader. Yeah, I would rather take that guy than the maybe he's a rotational D tackle at 11. Those are always reaches for me. That's just my personal sense. That doesn't mean he's going to be good. That does not mean he's going to be good. In the same way that I thought that trading three picks to go up and get Mac Jones was bad value, even though both guys, Trey Lance and Mac Jones, ended up not being able to play football at the level we thought they would.
That whole draft class, and we don't even know if Trevor Lawrence is good.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm always here for the big swing, right? And I'm always going to hang my hat on, I get kind of over the top on guys with traits. I just do. I give me the 6'5 receiver in the top 15 over the 5'9 guy that runs. I'm right. Sorry, like, I'm going to short guys like Ted Ginn Jr. Now, are there DeSean Jackson types who end up being good? Yeah, they took him in the second round.
Lad McConkey, right? There's guys like that.
Second round pick,
exactly.
Right? You know, so to me, like, that's how I view my board. How you view your board is how you view your board, right? Like, right now, teams are all saying, like, yeah, we're not taking Shadur in the first round. I will take him in the second or the third round is probably what a lot of people are saying. So that's how they're working their board. I want to see the totality of the Niners draft before I lose my mind over the individual picks.
Speaking of boards, let's go to Caleb and Livermore and see where Mykel Williams fell on Caleb and Livermore's board. Caleb, good morning, man. You're on Spadoni and Shasky. What you got on Mykel Williams?
Spadoni and Shask. How you guys doing, man? Happy Friday.
Doing
payday
great.
Friday, right?
Hell thank yeah. Thank God.
Well, I get paid every other Thursday, but hey, that's always good to finish off the week. Now it's about to be the weekend, but me and my buddy who I do a podcast with, we were doing an NFL draft. We were doing an NFL draft reaction, and you know, me being a Raider fan, you know, I'd say our draft went pretty well. Got a generational running back, but let's just say my friend was not that happy that they drafted Mr. Mykel Williams. He wanted Kenneth Grant, the D tackle from Michigan, and I'm forgetting the guy's first name, Nolan from Ole Miss.
Walter Nolan,
yeah, because he felt the interior defensive line was a bigger need than a pass rusher. And also, he felt offensive line, specifically the tackle, was more of a need, and he wanted Membu, and the Jets ended up snagging him up, but my buddy was not too happy last night. I was, but yeah, it is what it is.
Time will tell.
Thanks, Cabe.
I also want to see where their other picks are. Like, what if their next pick right now is a D-tackle? And they get great value on a guy who was graded as a first-rounder by a lot of teams, or on the Niners board, had a gold helmet. That's what they do. They do these things called gold helmets.
Sure.
You know, high character, high upside guys.
Or a guy that you alluded to, like you were feeling Jaylon Walker maybe, like a linebacker. You're saying, hey, no Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah.
We got Fred Warner, who obviously wants to get paid more, but you need that tandem because when those guys were together, they made sweet music. Are you going to replace Dre Greenlaw? No, you don't replace Dre Greenlaw, what he brings emotionally and physically. But can you get a player that has similar production? Carson Schlesinger, a guy from UCLA that Baldy alluded to. I'm just looking at him now. I draft him for the hair alone. Might be the sexiest hair I've ever seen in my life outside
second
of one.
Sexiest.
Please, Sam, I was going to give you your shine right there. Now I'm going to backtrack. I'm going to say no, not anymore.
Fair.
I was going to, but not anymore. But Carson Schlesinger is a guy. So a linebacker, defensive tackle, like That's what we're looking at. I asked Baldy about the offensive line. He said all the elite guys pretty much are gone when it comes to the O-line, but you can get some serviceable starters, right? And that's who you alluded to, Mike McGlinchey. I feel better in the second or third round getting a serviceable starter than, you know, in the first round where I'm trying to get generational and trying to get my Pro Bowlers and stuff like that.
Yes. I mean, look, you have to judge the totality of a draft. You can't just look at one pick. Now, one pick can make or break a draft, because if you reach up for the wrong guy or you trade down and you pass on the wrong people.
Yeah, I think this Travis Hunter thing can blow up big in the Jaguars' face. I'm just going to call it what it is. Like, I don't think they're a Travis Hunter away from being a playoff team next year. And for what they had to give up to go up three spots, I think that was a horrible move. I don't think Travis Hunter's a bad player. I know Baldy's all in on him, and he loves him. He's like, oh, well, he's first in the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. You know what? If you're in both of those categories, I kind of don't want to bet on either of them, to be quite frank, because he's going to split that time. Like, he might be one of the rookies of the year. He might be. There's a good chance he's not. And I'm not going to liken it to this player because he did win the Heisman. He's really freaking good. I don't want to get all that. But I just remember Isaiah Simmons coming out of Clemson. Hybrid player. And I get it. It's a little different. It's not like for like. But is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? Well, he really wasn't anything. And he kind of he was a bust. Let's call it what it is. Yes. He was a bit of a bust. So those ones kind of concerned me. So I thought that was very odd. Shador falling, I guess the writing was on the wall, according to Baldy, for a lot of these people. Didn't rate well when it came to, you know, the interviews, the pro days, all of that. So Jackson Dart getting drafted late in the first round, I thought that was fascinating. I didn't really think much of him when he was at Ole Miss. So, yeah, there's a lot to break down there. And again, second round today, we'll see what happens. And we'll have all that coverage from 6 to 10.
Being skeptical is part of the process, right? I just want to give you a couple from 2017. The day after the draft, when Solomon Thomas was taken.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even going to say the guy's name because it's so unfair. What a freaking day. This is the exact quote. The 49ers got, in my opinion, the best player in the draft in Solomon Thomas. Oh, let's not remember. Before I continue, Mahomes was in this draft. Just want everyone to remember that. Adding him to Armstead and Buckner on the defensive line, you have the best D-line in the game. Not only did they get Thomas, they added picks, and they moved down just a single spot. What an A++ move. This is Pete Prisco. I have to throw his name under the bus. Our guy, Steven Ruiz. We've heard of this guy before a few times. What a splash. They nailed this pick. John Lynch, 2 months in, nailed the assignment. They found a generational talent.
Steven Ruiz, Brock Purdy's number one fan, correct?
Exactly.
Tongue in cheek, by the way. Does not.
Like, what a great pick. Safe, great trade, amazing. Great pass rusher day one. I'm just, again, no one knows anything, and I'm not trying to rip anyone. Local guy, Dieter Kurtenbach. I mean, Thomas is going to play outside on the first two downs and then inside. What a winning player. He gives you 3-down production. Easy pick, the right move. This is when he was with Fox Sports. I'm just giving you all of the analysis. What a day from Will Brinson. In my opinion, the best player in the draft, Solomon Thomas. Again, Solomon Thomas.
Miles Garrett went number one overall, Hall of Famer. Then it was Mitchell Trubisky, bust. Solomon Thomas, bust. Leonard Fournette, for what he did with the Jaguars, pretty much a bust. They did get to an AFC Championship game, but he was a bust. Corey Davis, bust. Joel Adams, solid. Solid career, but sixth overall. I don't know, he's a Pro Bowler a couple of times. He was solid early on with the Jets, so maybe I don't know. Mike Williams, he's still playing in the league. He's been hurt a lot. Christian McCaffrey keeps on this trajectory. Hopefully he's healthy. Might be a Hall of Famer. Good pick there, but he's no longer a Carolina Panther. John Ross, bust. And then Patrick Mahomes, 10 here. Overall.
Let me just.
That Marshawn Lattimore was not. That was actually a great. They got Mahomes, Lattimore, Deshaun Watson, Hassan Reddick. That was a hell of a four picks in a row. Wow.
But Joe, Pete Prisco on CBS said his NFL comparison, Aaron Donald. Big time comps there with Solomon Thomas.
Stop.
Rob Rang also agrees with me. Aaron Donald is the comp. And the NFL.com comp from Mike Mayock at the time, Justin Smith. This is for Solomon Thomas.
You want to guess what the comp was for Cam Ward last night? Steve McNair. Can we relax, people? Because because he went to the Titans does not mean he's going to be Steve McNair. He could be Kerry Collins, for Christ's sake. Ashton Gentry was drafted too. He's like, his comp, anywhere from Frank Gore to LaDainian Tomlinson.
I saw Emmett Smith, too.
completely different the running greatest, backs.
The greatest, most efficient running back of all time, oh Emmitt Smith. God.
You have to laugh at the comparison. I mean, can he get the Marshawn? Like Pete Carroll, obviously, he coached Marshawn Lynch, borderline Hall of Famer. I think he's Hall of Famer. Some people might not. I think he's
actually
Hall of Famer.
I love Genty.
Like, I like him too, but like people were saying, like, oh, he could be the next beast mode. I was like, great. Can he just be, I don't know, someone who's a Pro Bowler for a couple
Josh
years?
Josh Jacobs.
Could he be, thank you. Could he be Josh Jacobs first? Which would be great if he was Josh Jacobs. That was
and that's what I put out in a tweet last night. Like, I've lived long enough to see the 49ers whiff on so many defensive linemen, from Reggie McGrew to, you know, Manny Lawson, who I referenced earlier, Solomon Thomas, Javon Kinlaw. But I've also seen them hit on guys like Nick Bosa, and I've seen them hit on guys like Alden Smith. So I don't know. Or could he be something in the middle, right? Could he be something in the middle, like Eric Armstead, which was somewhere in the middle, probably closer on the really, really good side. You know, DeForest Buckner was a blue chipper. Mm-hmm. Like, they've had a lot of miss. They've had a lot of hit. They've had somewhere in between. We'll see. I think it was the right position. Now it's up to them to, like, figure it out. And I'm not trying to, like, cop out of this one. I'm just saying that, like, I've learned my lesson over the years where I thought Trey Lance was going to be the guy. I went to practice and I was convinced he was going to be the guy. Heck, Kyle Shanahan was convinced he was going to be the guy. So none of us know.
Can you name the player that was drafted right before Reuben Foster? Do you know who it was in that draft, that 2017 draft?
So he went 31 overall?
30th overall. It's one of your favorite players defensively in the NFL.
T.J. Watt.
There you go. It was T.J. Watt.
And I don't have it up in front of me.
No. That was a round of applause.
Because I know he was in that draft. No one had T.J. Watt because he was a Wisconsin. No, not Wisconsin.
He was. He was Wisconsin, just like his brother.
Yeah. So no one had him there because he kind of like excelled late.
And right.
There were a lot of...
A late bloomer.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, like, again, situation matters, the fit. He's perfect for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
On every level.
And their defensive, you know, front line. Mean Joe Green, yes. All those guys, right? David Njoku was Charlton, one of the great names of all time,
Taco
by the
Charlton
way.
Is a good one, yeah. But I'm also not trying to pick on Solomon Thomas, but, like, let's just call it what it is. Like, it was a horrible pick.
It was.
It's okay. Last year, Ricky Pearsall, I didn't really love the pick when it went down. Then I watched him play. I'm like, you know what? It's probably going to be okay. Is he going to be Debo? I don't know.
His last few games definitely helped that, because prior to that, I was like, oh my God, this guy's a no-show. I can't even see him.
Right?
I got Greg Cosell saying he looks juicy. I was like, Greg, he didn't do anything. Like, what are you talking about?
If you had Juwan Jennings having a better NFL career than Dante Pettis, you know, on draft day, like, okay, you're better than I am at this.
I want to hear from the actual pick himself. We have yet to do that. Mykel Williams, 11th overall to Georgia, was the first-round pick for the San Francisco 49ers. Here he was yesterday saying he knew that the Niners were in on him after his visits with all the teams.
I did. After my 30 visits, I felt like that. I felt like we had a great connection. I wasn't sure if they would take me or another player, but I feel like I was in the mix. And just to get that call, man, it was a blessing.
Man, it felt great, man. It's a major blessing, man. I just give all the glory to God, and I just thank you for being in this situation, in this position. And I just thank the 49ers and their ownership and general manager John Lynch for selecting me and making me the pick.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, Mykel. And the big question mark, I guess, for a lot of people outside of, you know, what he can improve upon is just the ankle. Where's that at? Like, we got some scars here, no pun intended, when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers drafting injured players. That's the last thing you want, right, Joe? So he was dealing with a high ankle sprain. Dating back to that first game against Clemson, where Georgia beat them down in that first game. I was actually in North Carolina golfing in between that. When I watched that game, I was like, oh, my God, Clemson are going to be frauds. But Clemson ends up making, I think, the college football playoff. That's neither here nor there. But here is Mykel talking about being 100% healthy as of today.
Yeah, I hurt my ankle like week one last year, and then I ended up playing through it, and I played on it the whole year. And that really just wasn't a smart decision at the time. I just wanted to be out there with my guys, man, so I was playing through it. I was doing a lot of pain. And right now, I'm 100% healthy, though, and I've been working out, working out, moving on it like normal. So.
100% healthy. That make you feel better?
I just want to see him play. Okay. I'm really excited to see him play. Yeah. But I also I want to see what the Niners end up doing here with these next couple of picks. Like, you know, don't take a running back in the second round.
Right.
You know, like, your defense needs to be shored up. And so I'll continue to say this. When they went to the Super Bowl in 2023, teams scored on 33% of the possessions. Last year, 44%. They gave up the fourth most points in the NFL. They gave up 25 rushing touchdowns. This team absolutely needs to continue to double down on defense. And if offense is the way they go, they have to go center or tackle or guard before they go skill position. In my estimation, I'm paying Kyle $15 to $20 million a year. Figure it out on the skill position, guys. We need to beef up the trenches.
Well, John Lynch talked about that. Williams is not going to be the only pick that they address on the defensive line.
Good.
And we still need more. You know, we got 10 more picks, and they won't be the only D linemen. So, you know, we got to keep going. You know, we've always talked about they're kind of the engine that stirs our defense, and we've got some work to do. We know that, but I think this guy's a great core piece moving forward and a great bookend to Bosa, who also has the versatility, Eric, along with Yitor to kind of play throughout the line. So I think that's kind of exciting, all the different combinations we can have.
So they address defensive end real quick, Joe, with their first overall pick. What do Niners fans want to see heading into the second and third round? What position is of most need for you, Niner fan? 888-957-9570 when it comes to this team.
This team gave quarterbacks the most amount of time to throw last year. Bottom five team at that. They were a bottom eight teams in terms of sacks. They gave up 50 total touchdowns last year. Now, their pass defense wasn't bad. It was their rush defense. They gave up 125 yards a game. 4.5 yards a carry. 4.5 yards a carry. And they gave up 25 rushing touchdowns. The fourth most points in the NFL. That's what their defense gave up last year. Look, I need to protect Brock, and there's no doubt about it that they need to invest in the offensive line. But I want to see the next, like, let's say, five picks. 3 to 4 of them have to be defense.
We'll pick up this conversation on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Contusions.
Joe,
what do you know about deep glute contusions, Shasky? What do you know about it? You ever hurt your butt?
No, that's one. No, I'm knock on wood now. It's one thing I haven't hurt. No,
really?
No.
Okay, you're like all the ACLs, the Achilles, but not the glute.
I have not had an ACL injury, per se. I've had a sprained knee, which okay. I'm sure that goes into it. I've had more
toothaches,
Achilles tendonitis type stuff. Right okay. Now, I got an earache because of a toothache.
Oh, my goodness. Because
the nerves are connected, apparently.
Oh, no. That's tough.
Yeah, no. Okay. My butt's been... I'm not even going to go there.
I almost got you. Warriors postseason coverage is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament, by the way. And it's Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Atco Pest Control. Steiny and Goo are going to be broadcasting live from 10 to 2. And if you want to play, because Shasky and I are going to be, go to 957thegame.com and click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. It's my first time doing this. Is it just us two together, or are we playing a foursome?
Probably a foursome.
Okay, all right. With some listeners?
I have not swung sticks in over a month?
Yeah,
two months?
Mine's, honestly, that's not true, because I hit the driving range once, but since that, like playing an actual round.
Driving range doesn't even count if it's off mats. It's a completely different game.
My golf coach would say the same thing. Is like it shapes the shot. It's not an accurate representation.
Yeah, your club actually bounces off the turf.
Correct.
Actually, if anything, it screws me up.
It does, right? Because you feel great when you do it, and then it's just like, wait, why did
you
just
make all these adjustments based off the mat and how the your club interacts with the mat? Yeah, no.
I haven't played since like August, so I might be very rusty.
Oh, stop that.
What?
Look at him trying to set me up.
I'm just saying.
I haven't played since August.
I wasn't very good. It was very hot and humid in North Carolina, so I'm just telling you. Shout out Omarion Hampton, who was drafted out of North Carolina yesterday to the Los Angeles Chargers.
You know, the thing that I always laugh about is, you know, we do this thing in where we like obsess, and I'm guilty of it. I'm raising my hand.
You obsess over what?
We just love, like, we salivate over skill position players, and what I mean is like
it's sexy,
the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, the quarterbacks.
It's fantasy football driven. That's why,
right? And the meat potatoes is obviously the offensive and defensive lines. I still think linebacker is a totally undervalued position in the NFL in the modern day. I almost feel like you cannot be a good team without great linebacker play.
What is the least sexiest of all the positions to draft, you feel like, for fan base, where they are like, really?
Guard.
That was okay.
Not even center. Guard.
Or tackle.
Yeah.
It's just guard.
Like one of the better Niner picks in the last 20 years, like Mike Gapati.
There you go.
And no one ever talks about it. Just a really good player. Like a really, really, really good player. Solid. It's a shame he broke his leg in the NFC Championship game, but he was great.
You know what I go back to, and it's a perfect case study of that? The amount of Cowboy fans in the Johnny Manziel draft, was that 2014? That wanted Johnny Manziel. The amount of Cowboys that wanted Johnny Football. And who'd they take instead?
Zach Martin, I believe, from Notre Dame.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Who just retired, right?
And they took another guy.
Exactly. One of the great picks they've ever had, and that set the foundation for an elite, one of the best offensive lines in the league for that time that he was there. So, yeah. And what did the Cowboys do yesterday? I think a lot of people were hoping Gentry Falls or McMillan, right? They wanted a skill position player. And who did they end up taking? One of the guards from Alabama. Who was it? Tyler Booker. Who's probably going to be pretty good. We'll see.
So, like, I'm looking at this, and I've all the rhetoric leading up to the draft for the Niner fans, like, oh, would you trade Brock for this guy? Would you trade Kittle and go get that guy? And would you go select this wide receiver? And like, all those things are fascinating to at least imagine. Mm. But when you're looking at this just dry, and you're just going like, all right, what do the Niners really need? Like, it was so obvious. You can make an argument for offensive line, whether it is center, guard, or tackle, right? You can make an argument for D end, D tackle. You can make an argument for free safety. But I saw so many mocks with the Niners, like, Will Johnson, cornerback. And it's like, well, you watch the Niners?
Well, he's falling now because there's concern about his knee. So he was projected to be maybe a top 10, top 15 pick, and now he's fallen and fallen and fallen.
Yeah, but my point
being is that
if you watch the Niners week in, week out, I didn't think cornerback right now was this giant need.
No, I would agree.
Right? And so, like, and believe me, I understand best player available. But I hear that algorithm. But it didn't make sense. It felt very redundant. I like Renardo Green. We'll see if he's good, great, whatever. Like, he has time to prove it. And Jalen Milroe, they just paid. He's really, really good. Mm. Now, they lost Charvarius Ward, and that they're going to have to offset that. We'll see where it goes. Now, free safety is just a position that you normally don't get a lot of first-round guys in, and there's typically not a guy that people point to in the top 10. You know, like LaRon Landry was a name way back in the day that I can just off the top of my head remember as a player who was available. This kid from Ohio State who will be in next year's draft will be a first-round, high-end, you know, barring injury, safety pick. But, like, in the first 12, 13, 14 picks, edge, D tackle, O line, like that made sense for the Niners.
Yes.
It made sense this year. Now they've got to double down on D tackle and try to get a couple of guys. Trading Kittle away and then creating another hole and going and get Tyler Warren, like that sounds good on Madden. That doesn't sound good to me when I'm rolling out my team next year to try to win the West.
Well, it'd be reminiscent of the DeForest Buckner deal for me, where you just didn't want to pay the guy. He got paid because he paid Eric Armstead instead, and then he drafted Javon Kinlaw and just didn't work out. It's called what it was. It was not a good pick, even though Javon Kinlaw did get paid this offseason, which was one of the more surprising contracts I saw. But Tyler Warren fell all the way down to 14. He wasn't even the first tight end taken, by the way. That was Colston Loveland, who I know you like out of Michigan.
No, I like him, but the Bears. Yeah. But even then, I don't know if the Bears should have took Warren or Loveland. Like, we'll see. And they've got an offensive mind and Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson,
and,
yeah.
Maybe he sees something that all of us don't see, and he has it the other way around. And time will tell whether he's right. But, like, we got to be reasonable here, Niner fans. Like, drafting Shedeur Sanders, which I saw a lot of people. Look, I don't know why the league values Shedeur the way they're viewing him. I like the player. But is quarterback really a need?
Well, Peter Schrager.
Really? I thought we all like Brock.
NFL insider for ESPN, formerly of NFL Network, Peter Schrager discussed this the other day with The Ringer and Bill Simmons on his podcast. If Shedeur is still available late first, or maybe, hell, now it's going to be early second, what would be a surprise team that could go get him?
Not at 11, but you're telling me Shedeur's still on the board at 30, 31, 32, and we've got Brock Purdy talking about where he wants and what he wants, the San Francisco, you know, pull the plug and just say, screw it, we'll take two young quarterbacks. We'll see. We'll still sign for maybe. You know,
so not at 11, but maybe a trade back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanna like, if we're gonna have this conversation regarding Brock, like, we all like Brock, right? If the Niners are doing this in the sense of, hey, we want to reset the financial clock on the quarterback, I will listen to the argument. But I want to know more context. Are we sure Brock is only going to sign for over $50 million? Is that where you drew the line? And why did you draw the line? Was it health concerns? Mm. Was it performance related? Do you really truly believe Shadur is better than Brock right now to win right now? Because that's Niner fans want to win right now, okay? I'll listen to the argument. That doesn't mean I'll be happy with it because a lot of us have grown to really like Brock Purdy, and he's a really good player. But if I also then trade Brock away and he signs for just, I'm using $41 million a year guaranteed, like I'm going to be like, wait a minute. Like, why did you guys tell me you loved him for so much and then all of a sudden pivot off him? What? I want to know more about that. I'm not just going to like do cartwheels for Shadur. I'm not saying that he can't be better, but like I do want to know a little more like what happened in the relationship. I thought this was our guy.
It
would be a baffling move.
It would be insane. I would love it just for the content purposes alone as the radio host in me, but also it'd be leave me like, huh. And how would that affect the negotiations if they were to draft a quarterback like that? Hell, I'm not saying they're going to do this. A Jalen Milroe or something, right? In the second or third. Would that affect the contract?
Such a project.
Well, I know. The negotiations, though, would that like affect it at all? I'm not sure, but again, that's a project.
Well, we're here now. We're at the draft, and there's no deal for Brock, which I'm surprised.
Are you?
I am.
Okay.
I'm really surprised. Is it the end of the world?
He showed up to OTAs, by the way, voluntary.
No, it's not the end of the world, and I'm not trying to make of it more than it needs to be, but it's like, man, you guys told me for like a year you're going to get it done right away. You told me for like a year you were going to prioritize him. You told me for like a year that you wanted to get it done because you knew what the effects of these lingering contract things due to a locker room and due to a player's production getting off to a hot start. Like, what's going on here?
I'm just
going
to ask the question.
What's going on here with the Brock deal?
I'm just going to ask the question at 888-957-9570, and you can hit us up via call or text, the Boxer and Anderson Burke Injury Attorneys text line. No. You're right to feel that way, but I'm just going to ask it to Niner fans right now. If Shadur Sanders has fallen to pick 43 in the second round, which is where the 49ers are drafting today, do you consider drafting him?
Well, let me ask you.
888-957-9570.
When you throw that, and I'm sorry to cut you, but when you throw that out there, do you just mean, is he a better player, or do you want to reset the finances? Because there's ways of looking at it. We're all like, okay. They don't feel comfortable paying Brock $55 million. They also don't feel comfortable paying him $55 million knowing that his elbow is maybe hanging by a thread. All right, I'll listen to that. But I have a hard time believing just because I saw this regime move heaven and earth for another quarterback, like up in the draft, I have a hard time believing that this guy is just plug and play.
I believe Kyle Shanahan likes creative tension within the quarterback room, if you will. And I've seen this move with him and his dad when it came to Washington. And yes, it was both players that were in the same draft, but it was Robert Griffin III, and then who else? Who else was drafted?
Kirk Cousins.
They liked it. If it's best player available, what if they just said that? You know what? He was the best player available on our board, and given where he fell, we felt it was great value that we couldn't pass up, and we went with him. What if they told you that, and they drafted Shadur Sanders there? What would you say to that? If they said, we went with our best player available at that position, we didn't think he'd fall that far down. Now, was it for need necessarily? No. But we want the best player available, and that's why we drafted
him. I would say to them, like, I get that, but you also, like, you have a lot of other holes.
Sure.
Right? And so, like, when you're rounding out the team, I always love to be the best player available. But, like, only one quarterback plays. Like, if it's two wide receivers, even though I hate it, like, I could still, like, you're playing two at the same time. If it's a tackle, like, two tackles play at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, some are obviously better at left, some are better at right, some can play both. I don't, like, you have Mac Jones in the fold, which I believe as a backup. You've got Brock Purdy, who you've won a lot of big-time playoff games with. I don't get it, man. What, like, and then the other question is, like, okay, well, you're going to keep them both?
Well, I mean, the 49ers have a history of this, right? I'm not saying it's Steve Young, Joe Montana.
Well, they did it with Jimmy.
Jimmy and Trey Lance. Like, this would fit somewhat of a pattern, would it not?
They did it with Cap and Alex.
So, like, I'm not saying, like, yes, would I be surprised? I would be surprised. But
I think it's kind of crazy that we're even entertaining this thought.
Well, I don't think any of us thought a month or two ago that Shadur would even be falling into the second round.
I would agree.
I thought he was a
top 15 pick.
Everyone kept telling me he was. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the last couple weeks, and I don't know if you saw this, maybe we could pull the sound, guys. Joel Klatt went off yesterday about the narrative surrounding Shadur Sanders and the fact that he's falling out of the first round. And he believes is based on his personality and how he talks.
Like Joe Burrow isn't arrogant?
Like, well, that's what I'm getting at here. Like, I thought that was...
Joe Burrow is... And I love Joe Burrow, but he is, like... He's a lot. And he's proven to be a great player.
He also won a Heisman.
But it was a 1 year.
I know, but you know? Shador, I don't think, had the accomplishments and the level of play that Joe Burrow did.
The image etched in my head is him smoking a cigar with a Rolex in the locker room. Like, he is very, like... Very arrogant.
Are we seeing talent versus tolerance right now?
What do you mean?
When it comes to Shador falling this much, maybe the league doesn't view the tolerant worth the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to the extra baggage
that is
Shador Sanders. But then I'd question what is the baggage with him? Like, are you comparing him to like Tim Tebow level of coverage?
No.
Like, I don't think it's going to be that insane. I just think the whole thing is very, I don't know, odd given where we were just a month ago. Until where we are now.
I found it odd that the NFL had Lamar Jackson being dangled for two firsts while he was going through.
Yeah.
After he was an MVP and proven that he could play. Baltimore was like, yeah, we just don't know if we want to pay him. Anyone could have him, two first rounders, and no one bit.
Yeah.
Forget that part. I found it odd that Aaron Rodgers fell as much as he did in the draft.
Yeah,
that's
a good point. That's a good. So,
I found it odd that Jackson Dart rose to where he was. So
I didn't
see Danny
that.
Dimes. Why did he rise? It didn't really make a lot of sense to me. You know, like
Mitch Trubisky. There you go, right?
Mitch Trubisky never made sense to me. You know,
still doesn't.
But I'm sure if we had the same conversation about other positions, it wouldn't be as dramatic. But I bet we would find similar overdrafting, overvaluing, undervaluing, underdrafting, etc.
Now,
I think that Shador's tough as nails. I do think he's accurate. I do think he holds onto the ball a lot longer than you want, similar to Caleb Williams.
I don't think there's one defining trait that I look at with Shador, though, and this is where it comes back, just the quarterback and
accuracy.
Miss me with all
he's
the
calm
other.
And tough. Yeah, those are like, those translate to every
team. No, I'm saying like a physical tool that he can hang his hat on.
He's pretty nifty. He throws on the run.
But he doesn't have great speed.
Like Joe Burrow, to me, is not a... like fast player. He throws on the run really well. Actually, kind of like in terms of style of play, kind of plays like Joe.
What was
Burrow.
His 40 time? Shador Sanders 40
but
time.
You don't have to be a fast 40 time guy to create opportunities behind the line of scrimmage.
He's like a 4.7 guy. Like, he's not very fast. So I think a lot of people look at Shador, they just see the last name Sanders. Like, wow, athlete. No, that's his dad. That's not him. That's not like Cam Ward. He has a defining characteristic. He's got a cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
He's got an absolute cannon. So he would have been a first-round draft pick last year, I believe, if, like, had this version of Cam Ward gone out last year. Like, I do disagree to some extent. I know Baldy said Bo Nix would have gone first as the first overall pick this year. I don't know about that. I think Cam Ward would have gone first overall still over Bo. Now, would Bo have gone over Jackson Dart? There's a conversation there. But I don't think, like, even Bo Nix has like a physical characteristic where I look at, like, wow, I really want him. That's why all those other quarterbacks went before him last year. So I do think it's interesting that Shador fell this much, but I could just go back to the physical skill set, and maybe not a lot of teams are enamored with that, because that's kind of what we do now, right? Why was Anthony Richardson drafted in the top five overall? He was not a very good quarterback in college, but he showed enough flashes, tools,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The cannon.
I mean, you know, all it takes is one GM or one front office to be convinced, you know.
Blake Bortles, another one. Why was he drafted in the top
Baker Mayfield
five?
Went number one overall, and I think heading into that, I remember I had a bet with Townie. Townie thought I was insane that he would go number one. I'm like, he's a second rounder. He's a third rounder.
I loved Baker coming out, personally. I did.
But that year, he had a great year. And then the very next year, Kyler Murray had a great year out of nowhere, and no one thought he would be the number one overall pick. And because Baker, at a smaller size, had success that rookie year, I think he broke at the time, the rookie touchdown record for most passes in a year for a rookie player. People were more apt to taking Kyler Murray.
I would love to hear, you know, or them ask the question about where, I guess they're not going to tell you, Lynch and Shanahan's, like, where do you have these players like ranked in your draft board or all of that. But like, when you don't go into a draft, because they have their big boards, their own, but you're not going into this draft thinking quarterback per se, but they obviously do their homework regardless over all the guys, right?
They weren't thinking quarterback for the Trey Lance draft until the very, very, very end.
Right.
And they ended up finding their guy.
Exactly. But
that was the next year.
In hindsight, we now know that they didn't even know they wanted Trey. Yeah, Trey Lance with that pick. They traded up there not knowing they wanted Trey Lance. They just said, yeah, we want someone. We'll see. I was like, really?
In this hypothetical, imaginary scenario that we're dreaming, is the temperament for Shadur good with Kyle Shanahan? Is that amicable? Because we know that at times Jimmy and Kyle, though they had a lot of success, clearly there was a relationship thing that didn't work. Brock feels like he's got the appropriate temperament to deal with Kyle's stubbornness. Because, you know, Kyle's a very particular way. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. I don't think every quarterback works with every head coach.
I don't know how Sanders would work, because I do think for the most part, as a 49ers head coach, the personalities he had to work with are pretty mild. Like, I know you say what you want about Jimmy. Like, he was caught on camera, caught in 4K, whatever.
Was more aloof than
exactly.
Anyone.
I don't think he was a hard like personality.
No, but I don't
to
think
deal
Shadur
with.
Is some like, oh, I can't be coached type of a guy. That I never had that impression.
No, I just think has tremendous self confidence in him, and he's his father's son.
Someone like Joe Burrow. Yeah. Joe Burrow's the same way.
Exactly, but that goes back to talent versus tolerance. Like, Joe Burrow won and kept winning, and he's been the Super Bowl. Like, there is some sort of an earned arrogance with him. Okay. I think a lot of people look at Shadur, you know, whether it's right or wrong. And that's what we're talking about right now, because I just am shocked. We've gone these last months talking about him being a top 10 pick potentially and him falling all the way out of the first round. It felt like even just a few weeks ago, he was a lock to be a top 15, hell, top 25, whether it was to Pittsburgh or some other team drafting late. And then no one even touched him. And even the Giants, who we were all linking him to the Giants just a month ago.
I
they traded
might.
Back in. I thought for sure they were taking him.
I did too.
And they took Jackson Dart. I
just don't even know.
I don't see it with Jackson Dart. I'm just going to say it. I don't see it.
Well,
I don't.
I've been skeptical of him.
It's a great name for a quarterback. I'll say that.
Yeah,
that's about it.
But I was skeptical with him early on in his career. And then I will admit, like, he played a hell of a lot better than I gave him credit for. He grew as a player. Over time.
Homies with Brock Purdy, by the way, Jackson Dart.
Oh, I didn't even.
Yeah, they had like a prom pictures together.
No, that was the other guy. That was.
Is that Shuck?
Yeah, that was Shuck.
That was Jackson Dart. Maybe I'm tripping. I
could be wrong. I thought it was Shuck.
Yeah.
Who's older than
Maybe they're both
Brock
blonde.
Purdy.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know.
But like, the fact that Brock Purdy doesn't have the contract is why we're even bringing this up right now.
Well, exactly. And when's that going to happen, right? I think you're right. It is Shuck. Or it's weird that it's pronounced that way when there's no K or a C in his last name, but that is whatever. So you're right. No, you're right. Yeah. But I'm looking at a picture of Jackson Dart, though. He is a prototypical, like, yeah, this guy went to
Ole Miss. Scripting a movie.
This guy has a mullet, by the way.
If you were scripting a movie on what a Southern quarterback, Southern college quarterback would look like, like in the 80s, like it would be Jackson Dart.
He's the mullet.
It's the hair, the name, everything.
Why is that coming back, by the way? Carter, are you going to rock one of those? I feel like you could.
No, all my friends do it, though. I think it's odd.
Well, Lucas has kind of one.
We had the new boss, like, in studio yesterday. Not in studio, but... might as well be in studio. It's right next to us. But in like the arena, as we call it, our new boss, our regional president, Jeff, and Lucas was introducing. I was like, Lucas, did you like shave your eyebrow? Like, that's a look now. You like shave your eyebrows. John Morant does it. And I guess Lucas Alexander does too.
I'm out on that.
Man,
weirdo behavior. Well, Lucas is a weirdo.
Fight on.
Remove the name Shadur Sanders,
please.
If the Niners took a quarterback. And we're going to imagination here. This is the imagination sensation, Dan Dibley.
Thank you.
Just for you.
Yep.
If they came to the podium Sunday morning and they were like, you know, we traded away Brock Purdy because we wanted to reset the finances at the quarterback position. And we had, you know, X, Y, and Z reasons to think that he wouldn't get a deal under a certain point. I would be floored.
I do think the name matters in this scenario. And I hear you on that, because there is a difference between drafting Shadur in the second and then, let's say, Will Howard from Ohio State in the fourth round.
Fourth round, okay.
I think there's a difference there.
Yeah, but no, in my scenario, I'm saying they literally tell you actively, like, yeah, we couldn't work a deal with Brock
Purdy.
Well,
then that speaks to, okay, there are a lot of question marks I have within the organization. Yes.
If I would have told Niner fans at the end of January, just the way everything went down in the season, you're going to get to April 25th. It's going to be the second day of the NFL draft, and Brock's still not going to be signed.
Yeah,
I think we would have been like, wow,
but
what's going on?
But what if I told you, hey, Brock hasn't signed, but he did show up to voluntary OTAs, and there is positive according to reports from John Lynch, the general manager. There is some positivity heading towards a contract. Is that all just that you're laughing at?
I mean, there was a report yesterday I read that said Niners inching closer to a deal with Brockford. Stop telling me about the labor. Show me the baby. Just like stop it.
Speaking of which, you see the baby throw up? It was a Kelvin Banks. Someone got drafted. I think it was Kelvin Banks. He had his little newborn baby there. The mom, the baby was sitting on the mom was like going nuts, and the baby's jumping up and down and just throws up. Someone quote tweeted, even the baby knows that he doesn't want to go to New Orleans. It's just, oh, come on. Baby, spit up. It's fine.
We see teams make these types of decisions all the time that are baffling. I mean, like Derek Carr getting the money he got with New Orleans,
God love
made
him.
No sense to me, and they had almost 10 years of NFL film on it,
right? I mean, he still might not even play next year. He has a shoulder injury, and he's still going to get paid all $50 million of those dollars, and they didn't even draft a quarterback.
Shanahan thought CJ Beathard was good enough to take in the third round, and I disagreed with that wholeheartedly. And then the 49er play-by-play guy was trying to sell me on how tough he was as he was getting just absolutely harpooned behind the line, throwing wounded ducks all over the field.
I do think CJ Beathard was tough, but that doesn't really mean anything if you're not a very good quarterback. If you hang your hat on toughness, but you're not a good quarterback.
Toughness is a prerequisite to play quarterback.
Yes. Well, not for everyone.
No, it is. No, that's why you will never play quarterback if you're not tough.
Well,
it's a prerequisite.
Some things happen, man. Some things happen. I thought Derek Carr was tough early on, and then he had a devastating injury. And that shifted his mindset. I didn't think he was a quote-unquote tough player anymore. Not to say he didn't put his body on the line. I just thought, like, that made him a little bit more hesitant. And maybe that's a stretch to say he wasn't a tough player, because who am I to say? I'd get clapped and I'd get destroyed in the pocket. Maybe I don't even want to pick.
I would say
I got hit in Little League when I was 10 years old. I didn't want to play again. So who am I to call out toughness and some of these other, but gun shy. That's a great term. Yeah. That's a great term there. We got Bontale joining us in the studio in a couple minutes here. Talking about the draft.
I think he's fired up about Shador.
I think he's got a lot of thoughts on Shador Sanders, because I'm also feeling some type of way about him not getting drafted yet.
What way is that?
Well, because something happened the last couple of weeks. You can't tell me something didn't happen the last couple of weeks.
Are we sure he was are we sure he was a first-round player on everyone's board and then he slipped? Or did they always view him? I never know on these things.
I don't know. Like, there's a reason why Schefter, Rappaport, they were talking months ago about this guy being a lock top 10, top 15, and then someone started trickling information to them. Oh, well, I don't know. The way he talked in this meeting with the Giants, or the way he talked to this meeting with so-and-so. I was like, really? Was it one team that leaked it?
I thought Will Johnson was going to be a top 15 player, and now, like, it sure as hell feels like he's fallen completely out of favor. Now,
his injury. Will Johnson medical. Is a knee. That's what Albert Murray said. There's concern over the longevity of the medical with his knee.
Okay,
yes.
I watched Willis McGahee get drafted in the first round, for crying out loud. His leg exploded on the field. Lattimore. He ended up having a great career.
Right.
No. Frank Gore got drafted with two bum shoulders and two bum knees.
Right.
Had a freaking 15-year career. So, but I've also seen Javon Kinlaw get drafted in his